Welcome to Talk About Talk with Shanti Niven and Desiree Luthi. Shanti and Desiree are professional speakers and trainers of world-class speakers and anyone who wants to improve their oral communication skills and their lives. Listen in as they share their captivating speaker secrets over morning coffee. Tune in weekdays from 7:30 to 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And don't forget to follow the show or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the new year. Happy new year to you all.
Happy 2015. We made it.
My one goal this new year is to make sure that I can write 2015 and not 2014.
That's a good goal to have. By the time you get it right, it'll be 2016.
That's right. Always happens that way.
I like the number 15, and I just feel so positive about this year. I think there's great things to come. To me, actually, 2014 was an amazing year. It was a lot of challenges and a lot of changes for me personally, but our business really took off. We've had an incredible year, a very blessed year, and we've just made so many wonderful friends, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
And really had an incredible team. Things are happening. We're growing this business, and it's very, very exciting. And I just want to thank everybody who's part of our program, even you, dear listener, not even, especially you. Those of you who are listening to our show, you're part of our happy family as well, because you're supporting us in some way.
And more than that, I want to congratulate you for starting the new year off right. And I'm talking about you, listeners. Shanti's also included in that. But congratulations to you. You guys are on the right track to creating so much success in the new year, starting with Cap Talk Radio, yes. Of course.
And here's a challenge for you, actually, is make this a New Year's resolution. You know, it's not a big deal. We decided last year to change our format a little bit, in that we were running a radio show every single morning at 7:30 to 8, which people loved. I had a little bit of resistance when I told people we were going to change it, but here's what we're going to do. Mondays, we're starting the week off with our one show with a particular subject or a theme for the month. So, for example, this month, we're talking about the fear of public speaking, and also, if you've overcome that fear, good for you, but we're also going to be talking about fears in general.
Good for you.
Yeah. About fears in general and how they can hold you back, but also how fear is not necessarily a bad thing, how to use it. So this is our topic for the month, and we would love your input, so you could email us at info@shantineven.com. Getting back to the schedule, we're running on a Monday, so we'll run the show on a Monday, and we run half an hour, sometimes a little bit longer, depending on how the show goes. Wednesdays, we're running a show for parents and anyone interested in kids, and this will be in theme, how to raise captivating kids, mm-hmm. how to raise successful kids, which is a subject close to all of our hearts, how to get involved so that we can make sure our future generations are raised and don't lose important social skills in this new technological era.
But I would like to add that that show is not just geared to anyone who has kids or works with kids. It's really geared to adults too, because the core of our message with the kids is it starts with the adults. You are the mirrors. You are the ones that are
modeling.
Exactly. You're modeling. So the information you hear during that show just reinforces what we spoke about on Monday, and it has some more tips and tricks on being successful.
And honestly, it all applies. And as Ezra has just said as well, it all applies to you as well. So if you feel like you want a little bit of a refresher, Wednesdays are going to be a great day to listen in. And then Fridays, we're continuing because it's been so popular. Our Friday Funnies with Daniel Mentz. Now,
hilarious.
Daniel is one of our team. He runs our comedy and improv classes, and it's a very lighthearted show, a great way to start the weekend. The three of us get together. Daniel is ganged up. We, the girls, gang up against him, and he does very well against us. But that's a fun show, but you also, believe it or not, you're learning stuff through the show, because there's nothing quite like improv to exercise your brain and to get those brain cells firing.
To let loose and have fun.
And that's the way we wanted to start the weekend. And then we will continue with extraordinary tales from extraordinary people. I've got some amazing interviews coming up. This is not a regular, but when I do air them, it will be on Saturdays. I'm hoping to make it a regular. But we're going to be very strict about what we want to air. There are a lot of people who want to share their stories, but they might not necessarily be...
Not that they're not extraordinary stories, but we're looking for a variety of different kinds of stories.
Also,
everyone has different things to share.
It's got to be interesting for our listeners. Mm-hmm. So if I listen to a show and I don't feel that it's of...
Connection.
That the audience are going to connect or learn something from it, I'm not going to air that show. It might be a shocking story. That would rather be something for the blog. Which reminds me, we're doing blogs, so keep up with our blog. Check out our website at shantinibbon.com, shantinibbon.com. Captivating speakers, Club Captivate, and Captivating Kids.
And you guys are on the right track, and congratulations once again to you to get started. So now we are going to get started.
This makes us a challenge. Why don't you listen in Monday every week, and we are going
to
give
you... If there's something you commit to, and even if you can't make the 7:30, check out our archives. Find us our podcast on iTunes.
Just
you
look
can
for
download
Cap
Talk on iTunes and download it. Find us, follow us, because we are giving information away that it is so powerful
that people pay
thousands of dollars for. And let me tell you, we are trying to get exposure for our company. We know this, we're exposing, but we love what we do. We have a passion, and that is why we're here, to spread this message of powerful communication skills and why they are needed every day and how to use them to your benefit, and no matter what area
you're in. Do you know what we want, folks? And I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm going to actually say something to you that I said to somebody the other day who was speaking to me about the fact that speakers, we're talking about motivational speakers, professional speakers, are struggling to get people into the auditoriums to listen to them. They call it bums in seats, which I think is really a horrible name,
mm-hmm.
because it reduces people to just that. It's just a numbers game. And they're saying that they're really struggling to get people into seats and asking why is it. And I believe I know the answers, because at some stage, the stage became a place from which to sell. So this is what a lot of my colleagues, sadly enough, really talented people are doing, is they're using the opportunity to get you into a seat, offering you free seminars, free this, free that, free the other. And let's face it, we know, folks, there's no such thing really as free, unless it's charity. And what they're doing is they're getting you into the seat so they can sell to you. And you know this. And I think people are getting very resistant to being sold to. And so what's happening right now is they're getting tired of this. I know I am. I'm really tired of it. I get into an audience and I really want to hear a speaker speak. He's a great speaker. And all he's doing is trying to get me to buy a book, a tape, something. And I'm tired of it. And I'm sure a lot of other people are too. And so when I say this sincerely. Desiree and I, from the very beginning, I've told her, I don't want to run a business like that. And whenever I'm asked to go to speaking engagements, I share with people how they can check us out, but I don't sell. I will never sell from the stage. I'll just share stuff with people. I want to share my passion. But I want people to feel, wow, I've got something of value. And with our radio show, quite honestly, last year, a lot of the information we gave away, people don't even realize that we're giving away stuff that honestly, people are paying thousands of dollars to come into our workshop and attend and learn. So if you listen out, we're going to give you great tips. We're not holding back. We're going to make it simpler, though, in that we don't want to throw so much at you at once. So we're starting off today with how to conquer the fear factor in order to become a confident speaker. And everybody, at least 90% of everybody that I have spoken to, has said that they either are afraid of public speaking right now or have some time in the past. The 10% who put up their hands when I ask if they've never, ever, ever been afraid, you know what? 9 times out of 10, they're not very good speakers.
Mm.
Because adrenaline, which is what you feel with your fear, is a great fuel if you know how to use it. And those people very often are too complacent and they honestly are overconfident. Big, big warning flag. Every single time I watch out for those people who say, I've never, never been fearful. And invariably, they're not great speakers. Sorry to say it, but that's the truth.
Exactly.
And I mean, great. Mm-hmm. They might be okay speakers. They may be reasonable speakers. But the really great speakers, if you think about someone like Alan who got into the finals, I mean, you remember how stressed he would get. He felt that fear, but he harnessed it. He rode that fear.
And that takes time and practice, which is what we're going to get into today, is how to turn that anxiety that you may be feeling into a tool that you can use to become successful as a speaker. And it is possible, everyone. It's not far out of your reach, and it's okay to feel nervous. I feel nervous all the time. It's how I use it. And even the first time I got up to speak in front of a huge audience, I started crying. I was so nervous, and I couldn't even collect myself. And granted, some of the subject matter was sensitive topic, but even if it is, if you're a speaker, you should know how to get yourself together and continue on without standing there and having everyone watch you as you're crying. But that just goes to show nervousness and standing behind the lectern. My legs were shaking. My heart was racing. Everyone's face was zombies and blurry to me. I couldn't even connect with anyone. And that's no way to be a speaker. It actually got me scared to get up and speak again, and the second time was no better. I just got up and I rambled on and spoke about who knows what. It just went on and on about stuff that needed to be repeated. It was just too much content, and no one could even listen to it. But I knew I needed help.
And I've got to admit a confession here, because a lot of people have only known me to be a professional speaker, and so they often say, oh, well, of course, you never had nerves.
Oh, my God, that's wrong. What people say to me now. That's what they say to me now.
Yeah. Wrong. First of all, I was telling my kids yesterday at Rockland how they wanted to know, and they really loved the fact that I told them the story. First of all, how I got into public speaking, and I said, you know, my first job ever, I was in my early 20s, and I was working for a company. I was explaining the 6th, 7th, and 8th floor of this big office block, and on the 8th floor, we used to call it heaven, because heaven was where all the executive suites were. And, of course, I started off on the 6th floor, so I was having to work my way up 6, 7, 8, right? And I happened to get into the elevator on the first week that I was in this company with the managing director. Now, that's your CEO here in America. He was the top dog. And I've got to tell you, I actually got a big crush on him after that, because he was actually really a warm, wonderful guy. Mm-hmm. Alan Duncan, never forget. And Alan and I, in the time that it took to go from the ground floor to the 6th floor where I got off, he'd asked me about myself. I told him I was new. And I don't know what it was that I said, but there is the elevator speech, guys. I said something that captivated him. And he said, we're running our centenary celebrations. I want you to get up and speak in front of everybody to tell them your fresh view of this company coming from the outside in. And I said, oh, I would love to do that. And I get out the elevator and lift doors closed, and then I remember my heart just starting to beat.
Mm-hmm.
It was a few weeks away. I just remember those few weeks that every time I thought about it, I went weak. I try to write my thoughts down. It was just the stuff that I'd confidently expressed in the elevator. I remember the day that I actually presented. I remember the day, but I don't remember a single thing that happened on that stage.
Mm.
One thing I do remember is standing on the stage, and my legs were so weak, and I'd gone to a lot of trouble to make sure I looked good, so, you know, that part was fine. I turned back for a second, and I saw myself in huge stadium form behind myself on the screen. It was just a huge image, and a sea of faces. It seemed to be thousands of people in front of me, and I still feel weak, remembering that feeling. Well, I got through it. I remember nothing of it, but after that, I thought, but there was something addictive about it, because as I got down from the stage, I had this blood rush.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like you've just got off the
roller coaster,
yes. Mm. And so I thought, I want to learn how to do this. Mm. And so I joined Toastmasters at that point. I started taking Dale Carnegie classes. I'm the kind of person, invest myself 100%. So everything I could learn about public speaking, I began to learn. Well, I've got to tell you, folks, because I took it seriously and I was very nervous, even with Toastmasters, my first speech, I quaked, I gripped onto the lectern, is the moment I took this as a path, my life began to improve. So I can't recommend it highly enough.
But see, you mentioned a good point there, Shanti, sorry to interrupt you, but you mentioned a great point, and that's something that everyone needs to start realizing. If you have if you're terrified of speaking, this is the first point you need to do, is confront your fear. Face it. It's the first step, and that's what Shanti and I both did. We ended up going again. We didn't give up. We didn't say, oh, I'm done, that was way too much for me. No, we said, let's make it happen. Nerves aside, I'm going to keep going and make it happen. Whatever I'm feeling right now, I accept that fear and keep going.
And that's the definition of a hero. We say that a hero feels the fear and does it anyway.
That's right.
If your fear is holding you back, it's limiting you, it is like putting the reins and a bit into a horse's mouth and holding it back. It's never going to move forward to its full potential. Now, folks, a lot of people say, well, I don't know why. I don't need to learn public speaking. Let me tell you something. Every single human being, and I've had classes where I've said, kids, tell me one career where you don't need to speak and speak well. And they come up with different careers, of course, you know, janitor or whatever it may be. And I say, well, do you want to be a janitor? But any of the higher professions, oh, well, a scientist.
But you have to go through an interview process.
A research scientist. I said, did you know that research scientists, for example, they need grants in order to continue
to fund their
work.
Yeah, to fund their work.
So they need to be able to speak in front of a group of people to convince them that their research is worthwhile. Every argument they come up with, I show them why public speaking and communication skills is going to make them successful. So, folks, if you're afraid, the first rule that we're going to give is to confront the fear. But before we get into that,
well, let's talk about that. Where does that fear come from? How can you confront it? What are the roots of that fear? And I think that's an important topic to get into.
Why are you afraid?
Are we afraid? And one of my favorite acronyms, which is very popular and it's very something that's out there, but the first time I heard it, it was very powerful for me. And the acronym for fear is now I'm blanking on what it is. I had it right there. Now it's gone. Thank you. False evidence appearing real. Appearing real. And that's what it is, just in your head.
If you imagine, yes, everything about the fear that you have right now is in the brain because there is no real danger. I get terrified looking at those images of these Russians hanging off buildings. You know, I just look at that and my hands go clammy. Now, public speaking has been listed above fear of heights, fear of flying.
Death.
Fear of death. It's been listed above all of this, and it seems bizarre because we don't have an audience filled with terrorists who are about to behead us. It's not as though we're actually in any real and imminent danger. But the theory is that we have a part of our brain, and it's often referred to in the modern day as the reptilian brain, the primitive brain. But in fact, it's the part of the brain just above the spinal cord, which is the autonomous brain. In other words, this is the part of our brain that is automatic. So, for example, the part that beats your heart and all the other functions of your body that keep you alive. Thank God we don't have to think about that stuff. Otherwise, I'd be dead. You know, I'd forget to breathe. But it's also responsible for fight or flight, which is keeping us safe from predators. So if we're attacked, for example, what we normally do is we look at the predator. Just imagine us in a more primitive state, in a more dangerous state. If the predator is the same size as us or smaller, we may go into fight mode. If the predator is larger and faster, we may go into, larger and slower, we may go into flight mode because we evaluate in a split second. Right, do I need to run? Do I fight? Do I run? But if we're in a state where it's larger and even faster, we may go into freeze mode because we know there's nothing we can do. Running away is just going to...
We're not going to be able to fight it.
Right, yeah. And so we get into freeze mode. Now, what happens a lot of the time for people who are afraid of public speaking is they get into freeze mode. They may fear all these other things, but they get into freeze mode. And the theory is that we were originally meant to be pack animals. We are social creatures. So we're like apes who operate together in a pack or in a social order or a tribe. But the moment one gets separated from the pack, there is immediately a sense of danger already. But now if you're separated from the pack and all eyes are upon you,
they're going to eat me.
They're going to eat you.
Or they're going to attack.
They're ostracizing you. They're going to attack you. There's some reason why you're being. And so some primitive part of us apparently believes that that is the ultimate danger. Because not only are we isolated from our pack, we're also got all eyes on us. So that's the theory. And I've actually tried this out because there are situations where, for example, if you're speaking on a stage and you've got a whole bunch of your friends behind you, the confidence levels definitely increase because you feel like you've got your peeps. So you can talk. In fact, people are fighting for airspace.
That's right.
So there's something to that. And then the next point that I'll let Desi take the next one. The other one is about being in the spotlight.
Yes, yes. And so that was another main thing. And one of the most common fears that people have of being on stage is the fear of judgment. I'm scared I'm going to mess up. What happens if I fall? What happens if I forget my lines? And there's all of
what
these
thoughts.
What
if my zipper's undone?
Yes, my zipper's undone. What happens if I have some food on my face? There's always, my hair's messed up. I mean, the list can go on and on. But at the core of it, it's fear of rejection. Fear that you're going to be made fun of. They're going to laugh at you or you're going to look stupid. Which we hear not only with adults, but with the kids as well.
That's
starting at a young age.
That's why we started our kids programs, because we realized that most of the fears have their roots.
Exactly. And I'm seeing, and I actually spoke to a teacher, I was speaking to an administrator from USC who's a counselor there yesterday, and he was saying, oh, well, young kids actually don't need the public speaking skills. I don't even think I told you this story. He said at that age, they're still trying to figure themselves out, so those skills are useless for them at that age. And I had it explained to him that's absolutely not the case. Most of the fears start from when you're young, being made fun of, being, you know, going to stand up in front of your class or raising your hand when a teacher asks you a question and you say the wrong answer and you're embarrassed. It's all coming from that judgment. So catching that at a young age or even as adults, realizing that it starts there.
If you think about it this way, and I know I've dealt with a man who had social anxiety disorder that was so limiting that he actually left jobs rather than speak. And he was brilliant. But he, somewhere between the ages of 8 and 10, and that's normally when it starts, I would say between 6 and 10. And it's, to me, it's like a seed that's planted. They get up during show and tell. They say something, the kids laugh. Because they said something that's...
Well, kids laugh at everything. Yeah. You could
but in their
run
mind,
into the wall. It's,
you know,
everything.
Here's one of the fears that the kids always list, that people will laugh at me.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they're trying to be funny, people won't laugh.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of these ironic things. But they laugh. The seed of fear is planted. And
mm-hmm.
in this particular man's case, that seed turned into a weed that eventually strangled him.
And it starts to continue to grow. And it can be until you get it fixed. And that's where starting
and
at a young age
on,
is important.
It may never be fully fixed.
That's true.
Which is why we started our kids program. We want to get to these kids before the fear and while the fear is being planted so that we can
but
help
also,
them with strategies.
Same as the point we just said, is helping them realize why they feel this way. And getting them to understand it now so when they confront a fear in the future, whether it's of speaking, whether it's of something else, they realize, okay, this fear, I'm feeling this way, whether it's fear, nervousness, whatever they're feeling, and accepting that fear and realizing it's there. And it's okay to feel that way. We're not telling you to get rid of it. If anything, congratulations. You're normal. You actually, this is a great thing. This is a congratulations to you. You have fear.
Yes.
That means your body is working.
And next week, we're going to talk about actually floating rather than swimming, which is a tactic we'll discuss next week, which is a great. Now, the typical response also is that when we have a fear, I call it putting it under the magnifying glass. This has been research done that it's over 90% of the things that we fear never happen. Never.
Yeah.
And so we do the same thing with public speaking. So we think all these what ifs. What if I forget my lines? What if I this? What if I that? What if I the other? And so we're going to be discussing some strategies in the coming weeks as to we're going to provide you a toolkit of the things to do. When I tell the kids, right, okay, so what if you do forget your lines? What are you going to do? And so we provide them strategies, and that's what we're going to be working on in the next few weeks. But what I want to say with this is that we have these worst-case scenario projections, and we imagine the worst things happening.
Because you are your own worst enemy.
Exactly. So the first thing to acknowledge is to understand that it's irrational. It's not real. That's one of our first points. We're going to get to our three points in a second. The second thing is our typical response is avoidance. If we don't like something...
I don't want to deal with it.
I don't want to deal with it. You know, I used to love roller coasters. Lately, not so much. I think as I've got older, I've begun to value my life a little more. So I simply don't go to Magic Mountain. I wouldn't do that. And so avoidance is a typical response. The other thing is to know that as human beings, whether you admit it or not, we all desire significance.
Mm.
We all want to feel like we matter, that we are worthy.
Yes, and what you're trying, and even with that, is when you're speaking, you want to feel heard, and that what you have to say is relevant to those around you, that what you say, it has an impact. And even with the kids in my class, the adults that we coach, all their goal is the same thing. They want to matter. When they're up there, they want people to listen to them, and what they say is heard, and it comes across beautifully where it's so powerful, and that's what they want. Whether even if it's just a business presentation going over figures for the year, same thing, and it all applies.
Well, that's the whole thing. You're scared to mess it up, that you'll never be seen the same again, and that you'll be ostracized. Let's just say it. You're going to be ostracized. You're going to be rejected. People are going to think I'm a fool. There's that wonderful expression of, which is a saying that everybody knows, which is, rather be silent and be thought a fool than open your mouth and speak and remove all doubt. And that's an expression that we know. But again, in the next few weeks, we really encourage you to listen up, because we're going to give you strategies so that you can come across intelligently. And I'm not just saying this stuff. It's like I can wear the badge now, because the reason this brand was created initially is, honestly, the word that I heard most often when I finished speaking was, you're captivating.
Mm, I hear it now myself.
And now Desiree is hearing it all
the time. Team is.
And our team is hearing it all the time. So we do actually know what we're talking about. Now, before we get on to our three tips for the week, I wanted to mention some common advice.
We need to talk about these myths that we hear so often. They're such common, cliched things you hear when you get up to speak to help you overcome your nervousness.
And the best one is, imagine the audience in their underwear.
Naked or in their underwear.
Oh,
and so
hello.
Let's just talk about that for a second. Let's all picture those around us right now in their underwear. Ready?
Yeah, please don't.
Ready and begin. Now present a 10-minute speech.
Well, if any of you can concentrate, I was saying this to my class. If you have to imagine the rest of your class in your underwear, I mean, how are you going to get an intelligible word out?
Exactly. You're either going to be enjoying what you're seeing, or you're going to be like, I don't want to picture them in their underwear. And it might be gross because I work with kids. I don't want to picture kids in their underwear. I'll be some sick weirdo.
I know, this is just not on.
And my kids, I don't want them picturing their teacher that way either.
Don't even go there.
It's terrible. But these are things, and I'll never forget when I was young, and that was the first thing I heard for my drama play. And they said, if you're nervous, just imagine the audience in their underwear. And it always stuck with me. But the other thing I heard, second to that, because I couldn't, I'm creative, but I have an imagination, but if I'm trying to creatively spew out what I'm trying to say in my speech, there's no way I have time to consider everyone in their underwear.
No,
the second thing I heard, which I'm sure you have as well, Shanti, is, well, just look over their heads.
Don't
look in their eyes.
Do not look in their eyes. Because I said to the kids when they told me this as well, is, and adults who've said this to me, but with kids it's more funny, I say to them, what do you think is going to happen? Are their eyes going to shoot out laser beams? Are they striking you dead on the stage? What's so scary about the eyes? You see, and that's where it gets back to the core. Because the answer to that is, they're afraid to see judgment in people's eyes.
Or whatever emotion that person's feeling. Because whether we realize it or not, we are social creatures, which Shanti mentioned earlier, but we need that connectedness. And because social media has created this screen in front of us at all times where it now blocks our vision from the rest of the world, where we don't really need to connect, we connect on a different level.
We've become afraid of it.
We've become afraid. So even having conversation in the supermarket line, wherever you are, is no longer let's look into each other's eyes and have a connection. People are now afraid of feeling connected with someone. All of a sudden, you're feeling those emotions, whether you realize it or not. You are feeling what that person has. And it's not some new age who we all were connected spiritually.
And
no, this is honest.
This is true.
This is true.
This is scientifically researched. And I'm going to give you guys probably the best tip you're ever going to hear this year. How's that for a confidence?
Let's hear it. I'm ready.
This is research. I've known about this for many, many years. And funny enough, Desiree came out the other day talking about it. Did you know that you could take two perfect strangers, put them together, and make them look at each other for extended, you ask them to look
four
into
minutes.
Each other's eyes.
Simple as 4 minutes.
4 minutes. But to start to share authentically from a genuine place their stories, and they actually will start to feel like they're in love. Now imagine if you can harness that with your audience. Because audiences, and I'm not saying this boastfully, folks, but I know this, audiences fall in love with me. Audiences fall in love with Desiree.
But do you know why?
Audiences fall in love with Alan. The people we train in our Captivating Speakers program, this is absolutely key. Make a note of it. To make people fall in love with you, you need to connect with them in their deepest, deepest place. And you do that through direct eye contact. And so one of the things we teach is a specific kind of eye contact.
Before you get into that, I want to hear that eye contact thing. But the first thing I want to mention is the Beatles said it right from the beginning. All you need is love. And if you're able to project that love to your audience, you have something to share. It's something that they want to hear. And the reason their eyes are so important is because the eyes are the windows to the soul. You get into the soul. You get to know that person. And we're all human beings at the end of the day. I don't care what skin color you are. I don't care where you're from in life. I don't care the journey that you – I do care. But meaning it doesn't matter the journey you went on. We all have gone through our journeys. And at the end of the day, we're all humans. We're made of the same material, every single one of us. And we all have our unique stories. And if we could use that to our benefit, we are all on the same side. And what the Captivating Speakers brand does is we are able to connect and look into each other's eyes, project that love and that message that we have something so powerful that you need to hear, because it will change someone's life in here. And as humans, when we listen to speeches or listen to anyone, stories, speeches, shows on TV, commercials even, whatever it is, in our brain, we're constantly trying to find connection points. Why does this matter to me? What does this mean to me? And we're always trying to find an answer, because whether you realize it or not, you are constantly trying to find a way to connect to people all the time. You want to connect.
And folks, listen in, because in the next few weeks, we're going to teach you. We're just giving you a little brush on some of the stuff. But if you want people to fall in love with you, head over heels in love with you and your message, you better be listening in. Now, that might sound, some people say, well, gosh, you know, are you some sort of narcissist that you want everyone to fall in love with?
I do, no.
Actually, I never intended that to happen. Mm-mm. It was happening, and I was thinking, well, what causes that? And it's Let me tell you where it's useful. It's useful to people who are have an intent to do good for humanity.
Mm.
Now, I believe it falls flat on its face when somebody has an evil intent, because I don't think you can be authentic. You can't put this on and be inauthentic about it. So the main thing to remember is, as John C. Maxwell said, is people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
And let's just repeat that one more time, because it's such a powerful statement. So if you want to just go one
people
more time.
People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Mm.
That was given credit to Mark Twain, and there's been some arguments as to who it originally came from. But I think the importance of the statement is that, honestly, I've seen people who actually don't know why they're popular, but I can tell them why. Because they genuinely care. My friend JoJo, you know, everybody loves her because she genuinely loves other people. So,
but also, I don't want to get into this, because I know in future weeks we'll be sharing a little bit more of your story, Shanti, mm-hmm. and my stories as well. But one of the most powerful things you said to me is when you stopped wanting people's love, stopped wanting it and chasing it, and you started really just caring about them.
Next week, I'm going to share that story.
Your life changed. And that is something you need to stay tuned into for next week's show, because it is so powerful and so profound. Because when you're searching and seeking, but you don't just let it be, you let that and you project
that
love.
In my story that I share on stage often, is I talk about the fact that I had a big sign around my neck that said, "Please love me." And I was searching so much for love. I was performing like a circus
monkey
for love. And doing whatever I could to earn love, and the more you try to earn love, the more you chase it away. And what I often say to audiences, it kind of shocks them, as I say, you know, I really don't care. And I have when I say that, because I don't care what they think of me. Sometimes, you know, I even mm-hmm. do silly things.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pull faces and I'll say, you know what, I don't care what you're thinking about me right now. And it's really liberating. But then I stop. I pause and I look at them and I mean this sincerely from the bottom of my heart. When I stopped caring about what you think about me, it set me free to care about you. To care about you. And that's what it's all about. When we stop thinking about ourselves and being so self-conscious and worrying about what we look like, and we start caring about our audiences, that click, that switchover, changes the dynamic forever, and we become captivating.
An audience out there, I'm telling you now, it's possible for anyone. I have seen it with my own eyes. I have seen kids that are bullies being transformed into leaders. I've seen adults who have social anxiety who have turned this love for themselves and their people around them and seen the transformation, how they connect. So eyes, very important to connect, because it brings out that side. And we'll get into future experiments as well that we have done with our staff. There's so much. So anyways, can you believe our half hour is already up? But we still have to finish our couple tips here.
Okay, so we're going to start off with point number one. So let's just, if you're going to
once again,
some points.
Yes, point number one that we already spoke about is face the fear. Why are you feeling this way? And it is okay that you are. Remember, it is normal. It is great. That means your body is working. Congratulations.
And acknowledge its irrationality and say it's not rational.
So what is the best line? Whatever you're questioning, so what? Oh, I'm going to fall on my face. So what? Get back up.
In fact, we always talk about this. There was a world champion who won the world championship after falling on his face on the stage. He used it, and he wrote a book even called How I Fell on My Face All the Way to the Top.
And guess what? He's one of a world-renowned speaker now because of that. And he used a challenge that would have been a terrifying experience for most people and used it to his benefit and overcame it.
What we're going to be talking about in weeks to come is we're going to give you strategies for anything that happens. So when you've got your toolkit ready, you're ready to face
you're
the
ready.
World.
Which goes on to the next thing. Point number two.
One is face the fear. Mm-hmm. A hero feels the fear and does it anyway. And then point number two is
preparation. You need time. Even if you're doing an off-the-cuff speech, you're not prepared for it, you're just getting up to speak, you can be prepared for the unprepared. There's always ways to prepare yourself. And that is the most important thing. If you know you have a presentation coming up, whether it's a speech, whether it's a dinner party even, you would need to get up and share a toast with your dinner party, whatever it is, practice. Be prepared.
And then the one thing I want to say within preparation, we'll again be talking in further weeks about this. Don't make the mistake of learning rote word for word. Because first of all, you sound like a polyparrot.
Biggest mistake.
Secondly, we can actually see your eyes reading. I've often seen people when they've got word for word on a page, their eyes move from left to right as though they're reading. We're going to talk It's a little bit more of an advanced technique. So preparation is very important to know your subject, but to speak naturally and extemporaneously.
And that just goes with trusting yourself, because so often we have seen people get up to speak who have memorized word for word, and then all of a sudden they forgot their next word in the sentence,
and the whole thing's gone.
They feel like, they freeze, and that's where the nervousness starts to come back into them. They get anxiety, their heart starts racing because they don't know where they are. Now they have people watching them.
And that's it. And
be prepared.
And that we actually know of. Do you remember, I've got a particular client that I have in mind. All I'm going to say is the one that, the very good-looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
There was no reason why this chap, he was very, very well-spoken, everything else. But he had a freeze once at a business seminar, and that paralyzed him thereafter.
And someone who was totally confident speaking, had no issues, but then right after that, after he froze in front of all those people, all those eyes,
that finished him off.
Finished him. And so it's not just when you're young. It could be when you're an adult and you have, and something happens, but it's still, you're still able to overcome it. So now,
And I just want to mention point number two is an important key to self-confidence is preparation, was Arthur Ashe said that. So we're just going to put that out there, that's part of you listening to our show right now. Investing in yourself by deciding that every single week you're going to invest in this process. If you want to take it a bit further, join Club Captivate. Join Club Captivate. Be part of our team. It's $1 a day. I'm not doing the selling thing on you, because if you don't want to do it, that's fine. You'll get still great advice from our
radio show. Exactly, but it changes your life, because if you're ready to commit to the process of becoming great, no matter what it is, I don't care what you're doing. If you want to be a chef, if you want to be a great salesperson, whatever it is, you need to practice whatever skill it is to become great. And for this, communication skills to us, maybe it's just because it's our business, but it's number one in our minds for everything.
Not just because it's our business. The reason it's our business is because I see the importance of it.
Because we need it. And it's something that everyone needs. We need to communicate. And I feel like it's becoming a lost art, if you will. We've lost the connection. And that's something big that we are about. So get on it. Invest in yourself.
And then point three, face the fear. Point two, get prepared, get ready. You wouldn't go out and run a race without training for it, right? You wouldn't go and compete in an Ironman contest if it was your first step off the couch.
Because that's how you hurt yourself.
Exactly. And point three, it seems so obvious as a continuation, is I love
ready, this. Ready, ready for it, go.
What are we going to say? Action!
Action plan, yes.
Well, I love Richard Branson's line, screw it, just do it.
Mm.
So it really is a repeat of facing the fear and preparing and then doing it over and over again. If you're not committing to getting up there and just keep on doing it, if you're afraid of horses, for example, and horse was your only form of transport, what would you have to do? You just have to keep on getting onto that horse and deal with the fear until eventually it's like, what was I afraid of?
No, exactly.
The first time you get on a roller coaster, I remember the story about David, I won't go into detail, but I tricked my son onto a roller coaster. We went to Disneyland. My son had this abject terror. He's a great big 6'4.5", 6'5", muscular guy. He was afraid of roller coasters. Get him to Disneyland, and he landed up, unbeknownst to him, in a line, but it was so onto a roller coaster. By the time he got to the front, it was too late. Point is that he faced it, and once you do a roller coaster a couple of times, it's not so fearful.
Mm.
So keep doing it. And as Tony Robbins says, make a decision and follow with massive action.
Mm.
So let your New Year's resolution be, you're going to act. You want to be a captivating speaker, and trust me when I say that you do want to become a captivating speaker and a captivating listener, which actually comes first. You want to be influential. You want to make friends that will be yours for life.
Mm-hmm.
You want to improve your business. You want to get promoted in your company, or you want to be efficient in the position that you've chosen in your career. I can give you a million and one reasons. You know, there was research done recently where doctors, for example, those that are sued are not those with the least amount of skills who will make the most amount of mistakes. In fact, when they did the survey, they discovered that the doctors less likely to be sued are those with great bedside manner, good communicators, because people won't sue somebody they like.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's rather important that you understand that this, what we're giving you, is the key and core tool and skill that will advance you in your life. I can't stress it enough. Make a decision whether you follow us, whether you go and get a coach somewhere else, whatever it is that you want to do, invest in improving your communication skills.
That's right. And we've gone way over our show time, but let me tell you guys, invest in yourself once again. It is time to get this process going.
Next week.
Challenge, yes. challenge for this week
is to list all your fears. Mm. Just write them down. Let's acknowledge them. So what are you afraid of? Are you afraid?
I'm afraid of spiders.
People are going to judge you for not being in shape. Are you afraid that you're going to flub your lines? And what you're going to do in each case is you're going to say, what do you think will happen?
Mm.
So our challenge for this week until next week is to confront the fears. And get them under the microscope or the magnifying glass. It's okay, because what you're going to do in each case is we're going to develop strategies.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't do anything about other people's judgment. And I'm going to leave you with one last nugget of wisdom, is something I also say quite a lot to audiences, is that I can't do anything about what you think about me. And what you think about me is your business. What I think of me is mine. So the only thing you have control over, the only thing you can change, is what you think of yourself. And when you start thinking better of yourself,
mm-hmm.
it's amazing. The whole world starts loving you.
That's right.
Last tip of the day. And with that,
everyone,
and we love the fact that you've been with us today, and we hope that this is your best year ever. We believe it will be. Go make it be.
2015, the best year ever. And as always,
stay captivating.